The sermon today will be the story of those days, beginning, we have already heard, with what we call Palm Sunday. Then picking back up in the 14th chapter of Mark, I'm going to share with you from a translation known as The Message, one in more modern English than we usually hear. I will share the actual word from the Gospel of Mark and let it speak for itself. Hear now, in extended form, God's Word. In only 2 days, the 8-day festival of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread would begin. The high priest and the religion scholars were looking for a way they could seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. They agreed that it should not be done during Passover week. "We don't want the crowds up in arms," they said. Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. While he was eating dinner, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it on his head. Some of the guests became furious among themselves. "That's criminal, a sheer waste. This perfume could have been sold for well over a year's wages and handed out to the poor." They swelled up in anger, nearly bursting with indignation over her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She has done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like it, you can do something for them. Not so with me. She did what she could when she could. She pre-anointed my body for burial. And you can be sure that wherever in the whole world the message is preached, what she just did is going to be talked about admiringly." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the cabal of high priests, determined to betray him. They couldn't believe their ears and promised to pay him well. He started looking for just the right moment to hand him over. On the first of the days of unleavened bread, the day they prepare the Passover sacrifice, his disciples ask him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations so you can eat the Passover meal?" He directed two of his disciples, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Ask the owner of whichever house he enters. The teacher wants to know, where is my guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare for us there." The disciples left, came to the city, found everything just as he had told them, and prepared the Passover meal. After sunset, he came with the 12. As they were at the supper table eating, Jesus said, "I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators, one who at this moment is eating with me." Stunned, they started asking one after another, "It isn't me, is it?" He said, "It's one of the 12, one who eats with me out of the same bowl. In one sense, it turns out that the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery well marked by the Scriptures. No surprises here. In another sense, the man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better never to have been born than do this." In the course of their meal, having taken and blessed the bread, he broke it, gave it to them. Then he said, "Take, this is my body." Taking the chalice, he gave it to them, thanked God, and they all drank from it. He said, "This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people. I'll not be drinking wine again until the new day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." They sang a hymn and then went directly to Mount Olive. Jesus told them, "You are all going to feel that your world is falling apart and that it's my fault. There's a scripture that says, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will go helter-skelter.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee." Peter blurted out, "Even if everyone else is ashamed of you when things fall to pieces, I won't be." Jesus said, "Don't be so sure. Today, this very night, in fact, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. He blustered in protest. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. All the others said the same thing. They came to an area called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He told them, "I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and he prayed for a way out. "Papa, Father, you can't you, get me out of this? Take this cup away from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want?" He came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, you went to sleep on me. Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." He then went back and prayed the same prayer. Returning, he again found them sound asleep. They simply could not keep their eyes open, and they didn't have an excuse. He came back a third time and said, "Are you going to sleep all night? No. You've slept long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer has arrived." No sooner were the words out of his mouth when Judas, the one of the 12, showed up, and with him a gang of ruffians sent by the high priest, religion scholars, and leaders, brandishing swords and clubs. The betrayer had worked out a signal with them. "The one I kiss, that's the one. Seize him. Make sure he doesn't get away." He went straight to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The others then grabbed him and roughed him up. One of the men standing there unsheathed his sword, swung, and came down on the chief priest's servant, lopping off the man's ear. Jesus said to them, "What is this? Coming after me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal. Day after day I've been sitting in the temple teaching, and you never so much as lifted a hand against me. What you in fact have done is confirm the prophetic writings." All the disciples cut and ran. A young man was following along. All he had on was a bedsheet. Some of the men grabbed him, but he got away, running off naked, leaving them holding the sheet. They led Jesus to the chief priest, where the high priest, religious leaders, and scholars had gathered together. Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest courtyard, where he mingled with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. The high priest, conspiring with the Jewish council, looked high and low for evidence against Jesus by which they could sentence him to death, and they found nothing. Plenty of people were willing to bring in false charges, but nothing added up. They ended up canceling each other out. Then a few of them stood up and lied. "We heard him say, 'I am going to tear down this temple built by hard labor, and in 3 days build another without lifting a hand.'" But even they couldn't agree exactly. In the middle of this, the chief priest stood up and asked Jesus, "What do you have to say to the accusation?" And Jesus was silent. He said nothing. The chief priest tried again, this time asking, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I am. You'll see it yourself. The Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, arriving on the clouds of heaven." The chief priest lost his temper, ripping his clothes. He yelled, "Did you hear that? After that, do we need witnesses? You heard the blasphemy. Are you going to stand for it?" They condemned him, one and all. The sentence, death. Some of them started spitting at him. They blindfolded his eyes, then hit him, saying, "Who hit you? Prophesy." The guards punched and slapped him, took him away. While all this was going on, Peter was down in the courtyard. One of the chief priest's servant girls came in, seeing Peter warming himself there, looked hard at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene Jesus." He denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about." He went out to the porch. A rooster crowed. The girl spotted him and began telling the people standing around, "He's one of them." He denied it again. After a little while, the bystanders brought it up again. "You've got to be one of them. You've got Galilean written all over you." Now Peter got really nervous and swore, "I never laid eyes on this man you're talking about." Just then, the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." He collapsed in tears. At dawn's first light, the high priest with the religious leaders and scholars arranged a conference with the entire Jewish council. After tying Jesus securely, they took him out and presented him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "If you say so." The high priest let loose a barrage of accusations. Pilate asked again, "Aren't you going to answer anything? That's quite a list of accusations." Still, he said nothing. Pilate was impressed, really impressed. It was a custom at the feast to release a prisoner, anyone the people asked for. There was one prisoner called Barabbas, locked up with the insurrectionist who had committed murder during the uprising against Rome. As the crowd came up and began to present its petition for him to release a prisoner, Pilate anticipated them. "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you?" Pilate knew by this time that it was through sheer spite that the high priest had turned Jesus over to him. But the high priest by then had worked up the crowd to ask for the release of Barabbas. Pilate came back. "So what do I do with this man you call the king of the Jews?" They yelled, "Nail him to the cross." Pilate objected. "But for what crime?" But they yelled all the louder, "Nail him to a cross." Pilate gave the crowd what it wanted, set Barabbas free, and turned Jesus over for whipping and crucifixion. The soldiers took Jesus into the palace called Praetorium and called together the entire brigade. They dressed him up in purple and put a crown plaited from a thorn bush on his head. Then they began their mockery. "Bravo, King of the Jews." They banged on his head with a club, spit on him, and knelt down in mock worship. After they had had their fun, they took off the purple cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they marched him out to nail him to the cross. There was a man walking by, coming from work, Simon from Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They made him carry Jesus' cross. The soldiers brought Jesus to Golgotha, meaning Skull Hill. They offered him a mild painkiller, wine mixed with myrrh, but he wouldn't take it. And they nailed him to the cross. They divided up his clothes and threw dice to see who would get them. They nailed him up at 9 o'clock in the morning. The charge against him, the King of the Jews, was printed on a poster. Along with him, they crucified two criminals, one to his right, the other to his left. People passing along the road jeered, shaking their heads in mock lament. "You brag that you could tear down the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days, so show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you are really God's son, come down from that cross." The high priest, along with the religion scholars, were right there mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at him. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Messiah is he. King of Israel is he. Then let him come down from that cross. We'll all become believers then." Even the men crucified alongside him joined in the mockery. At noon, the sky became extremely dark. The darkness lasted 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders who heard him said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran off, soaked a sponge in sour lime, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But Jesus, with a loud cry, gave up his last breath. At that moment, the temple curtain ripped right down the middle. When the Roman captain, standing guard in front of him, saw that he had quit breathing, he said, "This has to be the Son of God." Amen.